As Claire said, words. That's our theme for the current series. What does the Bible say to us about words? About the use of our mouths and tongues? We can use words to bless, to help, to teach, to love, to praise, to honour, and today's focus, to hurt and to heal. Now, Darren touched on this last week when he looked at the use of our words for the use of taming our tongue from James. Today, our passage is one single verse, and it's a proverb. Now, if you don't know the book of Proverbs in the Bible, it's simply a book of God-inspired wise sayings. Often there's no particular connection between them as you read through, and today is one of those. It's a standalone couplet of truth. And here it is. So you can turn it up if you like, but this is the verse we're looking at today. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Now, we know that's true, don't we? And I suspect the reason you're sitting there knowing that's true is because at some point you've felt that hurt. You've experienced it. I expect we all know that feeling of being truly cut by someone's words. For some of us, maybe that was repeatedly, and maybe over a long period of time. I know this has been said in previous weeks, but I want to say again that we want to acknowledge the long-term and serious hurt which some here have suffered from others' words. And some will carry the deep, deep scars of those hurts. Now, we praise and worship a God who is a God of healing, of restoration, and of the power to forgive, but that can be a tough journey and can take a long time. The verse today, though, is written to instruct. So it's written to the speaker of words. And we're all speakers of words. We all know the hurt we've suffered by others' words. Are we aware of the hurt we've maybe caused by our words? So let's approach this verse this morning, not looking for comfort, but with our ears open to hear God's challenge. So let's consider the image. Reckless words pierce like a sword. It's not they hurt like a paper cut, or they sting for a moment like a stinging nettle. They pierce like a sword. They go deep. They thrust themselves somehow into our innermost being. They can make us collapse in on ourselves, if you know that feeling. They can leave us feeling somehow hollowed. Now, a sword is an instrument of death, and ultimately, over a prolonged time, words can really destroy our character. They can kill who we really are. And that is the power of words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words really can break us on the inside. Now, again, I'm sure we all know it because to some extent we've received it. But I really want to draw us today to focus on where we might have dealt it. The adjective is reckless, and it's a choice word. Reckless words pierce like a sword. So let's think when your words might have been reckless. Jen gave us a great mnemonic a couple of weeks ago, which was HALT, H-A-L-T. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It's not exhaustive, but four broad situations where self-control is often a challenge, and therefore where reckless words are more likely. There are others. Alcohol is an obvious one, well known for diminishing self-control or increasing recklessness. So when is it for you? When may your words be reckless? I think we need to know this because the first step to choosing control over recklessness is for each of us to know our triggers. So maybe when your team's lost, you know you're irritable. You're more likely to lash out. Maybe if you don't have breakfast, you know you get grumpy. You're more likely to insult the people around you. Maybe you know when no one's called you over the whole weekend, you feel lonely. You get a bit snappy with those closest to you. We all do it in different situations. For me, I know it's when I feel wronged. It's not if I am wronged, but just if I feel wronged, and they can sometimes be very different things. At its roots, it's pride. Even if there's complete truth in what's being said against me, I know I can take criticism badly. So in that situation, I'm vulnerable to recklessness. At best, I'll be ungracious. At worst, I know I've dealt words that have pierced like a sword. We all struggle with self-control. So let's learn our triggers. Get to know your own barometer for recklessness with your words. Now, here's a little illustration. Always good to have a little illustration. Here's a bit of rubber, just an innocent bit of rubber. And here's something not very nice, a pin. Now, if I stab the rubber with a pin, nothing happens. The rubber is still perfectly in control. But now the rubber is going to get a bit wound up. So maybe it's had a bad day at work. Maybe its car has failed an MOT and it's just added an extra thing to the long list of things to be sorted out. Maybe its football team has just lost again. Maybe it's feeling just a bit sad at the whole world seeming to be coupled off and feeling a bit alone. Maybe its benefit payment was a bit late this week and it's now worried how it's going to get food. Maybe it's just desperate for a good night's sleep. Okay, so now it's feeling just a bit irritable. In science, they talk about potential energy. Our lovely little bit of colourful rubber is now full of potential recklessness. So when the not very nice thing comes along, boom, the reckless words come out, piercing like a sword. So how do we avoid that? How do we avoid that? Okay, here are two obvious ways. The first isn't easy. It's a bit like blowing up a balloon inside another balloon. And I can admit this really wasn't easy. The result is an extra thick balloon. Now, that's an image for resilience. It's a deliberate extra buffer. So when the not very nice thing comes along, I'm not sure if this is going to work or not. Yeah, very good. When the not very nice thing comes along, you can brush it off. You can cope with it. Now, maybe that's having friends around you. Maybe it's planning more sleep. Maybe it's taking a snack. Maybe it's ensuring you get outside in the day if that's what you need. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's learning your fundamental self-worth as a child of God. Whatever it is, once you know your triggers, you can start addressing those things and preparing for them. You can be prepared and you can learn resilience. Resilience can help us avoid recklessness. So that's one way. The other way is retreating. Retreating can help us avoid recklessness. Now, if you're more self-aware and you know your triggers, you're going to know when you get wound up. There's another wound up piece of rubber. You're going to know when you're full of potential recklessness. You'll see the potential when the not very nice thing comes along. And you'll retreat. You'll let the anger just gently subside. You'll deal with the hunger, or whatever it may be. You'll just pull away, zip it, and deal with it. There are times when we just need to zip it and move on. Now, those are just two very practical responses which the Bible would call self-control. Resilience, retreating. Two ways to avoid recklessness in our words. It's being better prepared so that we don't explode with recklessness, or it's choosing to withdraw when we know that that's more likely. Our words can really, really hurt others. So let's be careful in how we use them. Let's know ourselves and learn practical, realistic, everyday self-control so that we can avoid that recklessness. Now, most biblical proverbs are written in couplets where the second half is in contrast to the first. So here we have, "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." So in contrast to recklessness, we have wisdom. In contrast to hurt and that kind of piercing, hollowing out, we have healing. As words can hurt, so they can also heal. Now, how do they do that? Well, it's the same power. They go deep. Just as words can cut us deeply, they can also be a bit like keyhole surgery. They can go deep inside to touch us and restore us. The wise person sees the hurts, listens to the hurts, understands the hurt, and can bring healing in their words. It's obviously not uniquely in their words. Sometimes a hug or a gift or just being with someone is enough. The words may be comfort, they may be counsel, they may be a prayer, they may be a distraction, they may be many things. The wise knows which is needed. In all forms, there can be healing power in words. So then what gets in the way of our words bringing this healing power? Or what can help us be in a place where our words can help to heal? Well, the verse says it's the wise who bring healing in their words. So the obvious answer is a lack of wisdom. The Bible also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how might fearing God help us bring words that heal? Now, it's a strange word, fear, and I'm not going to take us down that very large tangent today. But to fear God suggests a knowledge of God and a humility in awe and wonder before God. And you can see how that makes sense, can't you? We follow the God who made all life, who sustains all life, and he knows all things. Knowing God better has to help our words bring healing. They're more likely to bring truth from God rather from ourselves or from the world's passing wisdom, if we know God. Being wise in the fear of the Lord is bound to help our words bring healing. But I also know there are some very practical things which get in the way. Number one has to be time. For words to bring healing, at least in my experience, it's often not quick. To listen and ask and understand takes time. Now, my wife is much better at this than me, and at the risk of gender stereotyping, I'd say I know a lot more. I know women generally who are much better at this than men. Whether it's self-absorption or just distraction by other things, many of us rarely have a moment with someone where our words could bring that healing. So when do we put ourselves in the place to have that moment? When might we be the one to bring healing in our words? If that's you, and I know it's me, perhaps let's start by praying for the eyes to see it. Let's look for it. When the opportunity arises, then let's have the discipline and the courage to step into it. May we spot where we might be the channel of God's peace, his love, and his healing. Now, perhaps the most powerful words of healing, but perhaps also the hardest, are the two words, I forgive. There may be occasion where our words of forgiveness can bring healing to someone. They can bring healing in the situation of guilt or fear of judgment. But I say these are the most powerful words of healing because these are the most critical words of Jesus to us. We are healed and restored because despite our waywardness, God says to us, I forgive. We are chronically inclined to our own way, not God's way. And that's what the Bible calls sin. But Jesus says, I forgive. Come to me, I forgive you. On the cross, Jesus died for that forgiveness. He paid in his death the penalty for our sin that we might be healed, restored, and at peace with God. There's another proverb later in the book, another couplet which says this. Here we go. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, this is a proverb set in the courtroom. The tongue belongs to the judge, who sits in power to determine the fate of those who are brought for justice. So the words are a matter of life and death. And people generally appreciate it. So the image of eating the fruit of it points to people wanting justice. We want justice done in our cities and communities. We like justice. But just as our last proverb pointed to the words God speaks over us in healing and salvation, so this proverb points to the one who sits in all power and authority over all people, to the judge of all things. God has the words of life and death over us, and he will judge. And so in these two proverbs together, we really have the gospel. We have the words of God which have the power of life and death as he brings justice in his judgment of the world. And we have the words of God which bring healing and restoration in his incredible love for the world, justice and forgiveness. God spoke his judgment on Jesus for our sin so that at the same time he might speak his forgiveness on us for our healing. As we sang earlier, he is worthy of every song we could ever sing. Now, today has been full of practical tips for how we use our words so we can avoid bringing hurt through our recklessness and instead bring healing through wisdom. But the work of God in our lives leads us to use our words in many different ways. So to close, I'm going to turn us to a psalm. Now, there are several I could have chosen, but this is a chunk in the middle of Psalm 71. Now, the psalms are songs and poems written to God. As I read this out, I'd invite you to hear it as a response to the work of God in our lives. But I also ask you just to listen out for the verbs, that's the doing words, related to how the psalmist uses words. So look out for the verbs as to how the psalmist is using words. This is Psalm 71, which says, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Okay, a quick test. Who wants to shout out any of the verbs relating to how the psalmist uses words?
Tell.
Tell, very good. I knew the English tutor would get that one. Any others? Proclaim. Tell, proclaim. There's one more. Declare, very good. You could say relate as well, but tell, proclaim, and declare. Now, it's not private, is it? Knowing the righteous deeds of God, knowing God's salvation, his marvelous deeds, his power, his mighty acts, it all leads to telling, proclaiming, declaring. This is our response in words to God's work in our lives. But the other reason I've turned us here is because our proverb today was all about our words being powerful agents of hurting or healing. One essential way our words can bring healing to a world in spiritual darkness is to tell, proclaim, and declare the truths of God, his righteous deeds, his might, and his salvation. So in very practical terms, let's pray for and practice self-control so that we may not be reckless in our words. Let's pray for wisdom and seek the opportunity to bring healing through our words. Let's bow before the God who judges all but speaks words of forgiveness, healing, and restoration over us. And let's tell, proclaim, and declare the wonderful truths of God that a world so in need of him might find him. Amen.